Oh, hallelujah. Isn't he worthy of all of our praise?
Yes.
Yes, he is. Thank you all so much for leading us in worship tonight. We appreciate it so much. You're a blessing to us. Amen. Oh, glory. Open up your Bibles to the epistle of 1 Thessalonians, Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica. We're going to read that first chapter, just 10 verses in that, and see what we can pull out of that. We're going to look at five things out of those 10 verses that the Holy Spirit laid on my heart. While you're turning there, look to your neighbor and say, "Do you see what I see?" So you and I, we're going to look once again in the Word of God. And when we look into the Word of God, it is the mirror of our life that shows us the truth. Amen? It gets us past what we might be limited by or what we might see in the natural to see what's in your spirit, what's in my spirit. And so, because you are the church of the living God, and as we were talking about this morning, you and I have the ability to walk in the Word of God and to bring to pass what God would have us to because of the power of Jesus in our lives. And so, you might make a note, we're going to entitle this, "You and I, we are echoing examples." Echoing examples. See, the Word of God needs to keep going on and on and on through each believer. You're going to hear Jesus in a certain way, and then you're going to have the ability to speak what Jesus says to echo that, and it's going to reach somebody that otherwise might not hear it because they listen to the way that you talk. They listen to the inflection that you put on a certain word, or they have respect for you, or they trust you. Amen? And they might not hear from somebody else, but say, "They'll hear from me." You got to believe that. Amen? Because that's what you've been called into. That's what I've been called into. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's read these first 10 verses, if you would, to get the context of what's happening here. "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church." Say, he's talking to me.
Talking to me.
"Of the Thessalonians there in Thessalonica, which is in," come on, say, you and I, we're the church, and we're in God the Father, and we're in the Lord Jesus Christ. "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election, your calling, you have been chosen, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes." Now, starting in verse 6, look at this. "And ye became," number one we're going to look at, "you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost." Verse 7, "so that you were," number two, "in samples," or examples, "to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." Verse 8, for from you," number three, "sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." What a statement. Verse 9, "for they themselves," here's the fourth thing we'll look at, "for they themselves show us of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." And finally, verse 10, the fifth thing we want to look at, "and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Say, "I've been delivered."
Been delivered.
Brother Zach, would you pray?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for guiding us all in here to soak up the wonderful Bible.
Yes.
We pray for this message to be guided and directed into our heart, deep in our soul, that will guide us farther with you and closer
yes.
with you, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Zach. Hallelujah. Thank you for being here tonight. I tell you what, if I was any more excited, I don't know if I could stand it.
And
come on, we're together. We're together, and Jesus is here. You brought him with you. I brought him with me. And we've got this word. And the Holy Ghost has something to say to us tonight that will enable us to see, like we were talking about this morning, that fresh vision of who we are in Jesus and what we've been called to do. We have a destiny. Amen. We have an opportunity, and we have the author and the finisher of our faith that is working in us, that's making it all possible. Amen. So let's look at some things I think that will bless us. Just put your marker here. We're going to be coming back and forth. But reread with me. We done documented that he's talking to the church, and the church is in Jesus, and the church is in God. That's where you and I are. But look what happens after the gospel came to the to those people who become a part of the church, came to us who become a part of the church. It says in verse number 6 that ye became followers of us and of the Lord. And he said, it happened having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost. The devil doesn't want you and I to receive the word of God. And so he brings affliction, don't he, Brother Green? He brings trouble in our lives to try to keep us away from the word of God. But I want you to notice how faithful God is. To the proportion of affliction that you have, that's going to be the proportion of your joy. Because if you study Jesus' teaching in John 15, he talks about the very thing and about how he's made it possible for us to be a joyous vessel, a joyous temple, because we're hooked into the source of joy. We're attached into that vine. Amen. But I want you to notice here what he said. He said, and you became followers of us and of the Lord. Now, this word followers, it's where... it's mimetase in the Greek, but it's where we get our word for imitation. Paul said that when we brought the message to you, Paul said, I echoed, I told you exactly what Jesus told me. He said, I resounded, I repeated, I brought the gospel forth to you just the way that it had been revealed to me. And he said, when I brought that to you, you started following me because you could see Jesus in me. And so in reality, you're following Jesus, but you become a spiritual son and daughter of Paul because you were in that place where you saw Jesus and you accepted his word of testimony. Well, that's the same way it is with us. Come, we're spiritual children of God. Yes, sons and daughters of the Most High God. But this message was brought to us by the anointing on Paul's life, these epistles, this 2/3 almost of the New Testament. And so here we are. Tonight, amen, by this. And so we're becoming followers of Paul, but we're becoming followers of Jesus because everything points back to Jesus. And this word follower, it means that you and I, that we are to live our life, we're to have words and words, like we talked about this morning, just like Jesus. Isn't that exciting? So let's build our faith on that just a little bit. Put your ribbon marker there. We'll come back. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's see where Paul makes this statement. And I want you to see your role in becoming a messenger, just like Paul was called a messenger, just like Silvanus and Timotheus and all of those were. This is what you and I were building on, this same message. And look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. The Apostle Paul says, wherefore, I beseech you, be you followers of me, mimetase. In other words, everything that you see that I write unto you, everything that you see that I work of the Word of God, he said, do that. Because he said, what I'm doing of the Lord. And so that's the way you and I are. We're to look to this word. This word is Jesus. And everything that has an example of the gospel, an example of the goodness and the grace and the mercy, the works of the word of God, we need to follow that. It's available to us. Nothing has changed. We can't let somebody tell us, well, that stopped when the last apostle died. We can't let that get into our mind. No, there's nothing stopped. If Jesus needed to do that to build the early church, he's going to need to do that to finish the church at his coming. Amen. And so notice what he said. Paul said, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. That word be simply means let the word tell you who you are. Be what the word says, not what somebody else says, Not what the devil says. Be what the Word says. And look what he gives us, this great example. Verse 17. He said, "For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus." Now notice what he says. Mark this down in your Bible. Highlight it in your Bible app. Timotheus, who is my beloved son. In other words, Paul, he said, I'm a child of God through Jesus Christ. Now, Timotheus, he's a child of God through Jesus Christ, but I'm his spiritual father in the sense that I gave him the gospel. So Paul is saying, I'm sending Timotheus here to the church at Corinth. I'm sending Timothy because he's going to tell you the same thing that I told you. And his source is going to be Jesus, just like Paul's source was Jesus. Now, you see how this is meant to be. Jesus comes to you, and then he wants to talk to you to talk to somebody else. And see, then God uses you to introduce somebody to Jesus, and then they see Jesus, they hear Jesus in you, but then they receive him for their own. Oh my goodness, you and I, we have destiny, we have purpose, we have a reality of what this life is all about. It's not in the mumdrum of life, it's not in the necessity of things. The true existence of this life, the point of this life is to be what? To be an imitator of Jesus Christ.
Right.
To show people how much God loves them, to bring this gospel to them. He said, "For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, Timothy, who is my beloved son." Now notice what it says, "faithful in the Lord." So Paul is saying that everything that I lived before Timothy, now he's living out of his own life. Everything that you and I have been studying, that we've been hearing by the Spirit of God in your home study time and what you've been hearing here, what Jesus has done as he walked this earth, you and I can do. And it's supposed to be passed down like that. But see, if I present a false gospel, if I present a twisted gospel, if I present something of my own rather than what Jesus has gave me, then what am I doing? I am limiting, I am hindering the next generation from walking in signs and wonders, walking in the power and the will of God. See, it's not been that long since 1906 and Azusa Street. But we've come so far from what God intended, what happened in Kansas and what happened in California that was supposed to take over this nation. And then even what happened in Brownsville in 95. We've got to get back and see that God's not changed. Amen. "For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, faithful in the Lord, who shall bring into remembrance," notice this, "of my ways," mark that down, "which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Now think about it. Jesus, he was limited. When he was on the earth, he could only be in one place at one time. But now he's on the right hand of the Father, and his Spirit is here on earth in every believer. So he can be in every heart, he can be in every place, in every church. And so it's your role, it's my role, to present a true image, a true picture of who Jesus is, the Savior, the Deliverer, the Healer, the friend of sinners. Amen. Isn't this exciting? We're not living a pace-forward religion. We're not living something, in other words, that's one-sided. No, we're living a life that is full dimension of God. Okay, turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. I was just going to hit that one point, but let's make sure. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse number 1. "Be ye therefore followers," there's that word, mimetase, be an imitator, "be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." How many children of God do we have in here? Then we can follow the example of the Son, the begotten Son, Jesus. And now we're sons and daughters. Brother Corey mentioned it a while ago, quoting, what is it? 1 Corinthians 6:20 or something like that. So we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And so as dear children, then all we have to do is imitate the Father. How do we imitate the Father? Jesus said, I see what the Father wants done and I do it. I hear what the Father says and I say it. That's what you and I can do. So let's get out of the vision of the past. Let's let the Holy Spirit paint the new vision that we were talking about this morning in our lives. And let's be what God called us to be. Amen?
Amen.
Greater things are here. You and I, we don't have to be in fear. We don't have to be in a place where we don't know what to do. You and I, we can always know what to do by the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so go back to our text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So he said in verse 6, that's what we discovered, and ye become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Now look at verse 7. So that you were in samples, number 2, mark this down, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and into Achaia. Macedonia means extended land, if you fully translate it, and it's to the north. Achaia means trouble, and it's to the south. So in other words, Paul says, it doesn't matter how big the area you've got to go, whether you're going north or where you're going south, you're going to be a witness. Didn't say anything about east and west because, you know, when your sins are removed as far as the east is from the... But we got to get the people in the north and the south to realize the promise of the east and the west. Amen? So you're in an extended land. In other words, there'll be times when you won't deal with that many people. The population will be sparse. The ministry may not be as heavy. But there's going to be other times when you're in Achaia and it's going to be a lot of trouble. There's going to be a lot of pull on your life. There's going to be a lot of things you've got to work through or whatever. But it doesn't matter. Whatever the situation is, Paul said that the Holy Spirit was revealing to the church that we are his ensamples, his example. Ensample is an old Anglo-Saxon word. But today we would say an example of the Lord. That's who you are. In other words, when people think about Jesus, they first think about you. Come on, I think about my first pastor. Anytime I think about church or I think about the different verses in the scripture, because why? Because God used him to put the word in me and to start me on my progress. But this word in samples, it's from the word tupos, and it means a die that has been struck. So in other words, when you got born again, when you believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit come upon you. And when you were baptized into the body of Christ, the die of the Lord shaped you and molded you into the vision that Christ had destined for you from the foundation of the world. When you got into God's die, there come the gifts. There come the calling. There come the anointing to fulfill the gifts and the calling.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So it's no pressure on you. It's no work of you. It's a work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And he said by that gifting, by that calling, by the anointing to bring that to pass, that you have been shaped and molded. When you were born again, think about, you know, not to be... But I think about when children are born and they come through the birth canal, they have a shape to them that's different than a child that is born by cesarean. And I love it because whether it's born by cesarean or born by the birth canal, they each have a shape to them. So you and I, we have different births, spiritual births. I'm talking from the natural to the spiritual, but each one of them is a miracle. And each one of them shapes us and makes us like we're supposed to be. And so we're not worried about if we look like this person or act like that person. We're worried about being, not worried, we're enthralled, excited, focused on what God wants us to be through his Son. Amen? Okay, so he said, for you were in samples, you were in this die to all that believe. People need you. Why do you think the devil's attacking your health, attacking your finances, attacking your family? He wants to shut up the voice of the Lord in you, but he can't shut it up. Amen? Because you've got the power of the Spirit of God in your life. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Now, he said that you're becoming followers, but that you were, after you become that follower, you are an ensample. Do you believe that? So you've got to get that in your spirit. So let's look where the same Greek words used in the Gospels. Hold your place. Keep your ribbon working there. Go to John chapter 20. You remember Jesus is, the disciples are in the upper room after the crucifixion and all that. And so Jesus comes and appears to them, but Thomas wasn't there. Remember that scenario? So pick it up in verse 24, John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, called twin, was not with them when Jesus came. Verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him. Now, get this. We're talking about tonight, you and I are an echoing example. In other words, we're resounding. We keep saying what the Spirit is saying. We keep saying what Jesus has told us. So here they are. Thomas wasn't at the right place at the right time, but they keep saying what Jesus wants him to know. So the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print, mark that down in your Bible, highlight it in your Bible app, the print, that's tupos. Unless I see that mark, that die, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. There's a lot of Thomases in the world. And they need to touch you, because when they're touching you, they're really touching Jesus. Come on, we're on the same page. If you don't understand, tell me. Verse 26, and after 8 days, now the number 8 in Bible numerics, every time you see it in the New Testament, mark it down, it means new birth, new beginning. So Thomas is fixing to have what the others had done received, okay? And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. He was in the right place at the right time this time. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach thither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but be believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. What did he touch? He touched two posts. He touched the very form, the die that was struck. He touched where the nails had went into Jesus' hands and the reality of the resurrection come into his life. And after 8 days, he had a new birth. He was born again. Thomas become of the faith. But see, Jesus was willing to what? Make a separate effort, a second effort, and come and get the message to him. Are we? This is how good Jesus is. He'll keep coming, and he'll keep coming, and he'll keep knocking on hearts' doors because he wants them to know him. Amen? Verse 29, or verse 28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Verse 29. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So you and I today, we get to present Jesus, and they can't literally see him, but they can see him in you and through you by the Spirit working the word in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. You realize how many people are living their life and all it is about what they want. They live one day to the next and they never consider the Lord. And it's going to be such a sad day when they breathe their last breath and they realize they could have had a life that was not just about here and now, but it was about the eternity. Sister Victoria, put Romans 6:17. You know, the book of Romans is such a powerful book. And this sixth chapter is about how to walk in the newness of life. But look at this. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. No more. I used to be a servant of sin. Come on. Were. Now notice this. What brought us out of it? But you have obeyed from the heart that form. Tupos. That's the die that struck. You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, the word of God, which was delivered unto you. Don't try to live the word that's beyond your faith. Don't try to live the word that's beyond your understanding. Live what God's talking to you about right now, and moment by moment, your life will come together. You'll get stronger. You'll walk in more power. You'll walk in more victory. Don't try to raise the dead until you believe God for a headache. Work where you're at. I work where I'm at. And God will meet us there, and He's going to take us ultimately to where we can bring the greatest revelation of Jesus ever. Amen. And it comes by the form of doctrine. It comes. The Word of God is what shapes you and molds you. The Word of God is Jesus. Yes. Tell the devil when he starts trying to put his hand on you, say, no, you don't, in Jesus' name. Come on. You're not going to be shaped by the devil because you're a child of God. Amen. Okay, go back to 1 Thessalonians. We've looked at the followers. We've looked at the examples. Now drop down into verse 8. Because they're a part of the church, they're in the church, they're in Jesus, they're in God. Here's what they were doing. For from you sounded out, now mark that down, you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, like we was talking about early, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything. What a powerful statement. Paul says, I'm not even going to have to go here and talk in these areas because you've heard the gospel so much at such a level. You're imitating Jesus. You're following the gospel message and you're getting the word out to everybody. I'm not even going to have to go there. Isn't that amazing? Because they what? They heard the word. They believed it. They were working in it. He said, for you have sounded out. Now this word sounded out, it means to echo. That's where we're getting our title. Echoing examples. Echo. In other words, everything that you hear from Jesus, don't be ashamed of it. If Jesus has told you something and it's changed your life, you're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Tell people. This is what Jesus said to me. This is what His word has done for me. This is what His word has done in me. This is where I'm at. And this is how I'm climbing in Him. All these things. Sound out. But it means to sound out. Okay, let's understand it. Go with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. Let's see this word. It means to keep bringing the same word over and over. Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. This is where John the Baptist has got delivered to prison. And it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Verse 2. Now when John had heard in prison, mark that down. When John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Verse 3. And said unto them, art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? Verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show, sound out, bring the word again, echo the word. See, everybody thinks we need to change the message. No, the message never changes. We may change the delivery. We may change the approach because times change, people change, but the message never changes. Changes. Go and show, bring the word again, echo it out, John, again those things which you do do hear and see. You do hear words, you see works. See, it doesn't do us any good to tell somebody. What did Jesus say? He said, you see somebody, he said through James, in James chapter 2, he said, you see somebody hungry, somebody naked, and you say, go and be fed, go and be clothed. He said, that doesn't do any good. He said, you clothe them and you feed them, and then you can what? You can minister to them. What you see is works, but what you hear is words. See, people are not going to listen to our words if we don't have any work behind the words. Boy, it's getting quiet in here. Jesus is challenging us. He wants you to know that you're more than the title of your job. You're more than the title of your house. You're more than the title of what somebody calls you in the community. You are a son and daughter of the Most High God, and you have a gifting and a calling on your life that is from the foundation of the world. Let who Jesus says you are, let that determine what you can do and what you can't do. Amen? All barriers fall when you're walking in the will of the Lord. Okay, go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So we've looked at followers, we've looked at examples, we've looked at sounded out, you know, to bring that truth forth. Look what he said in verse number 9. This just shows that we keep going and going. For they themselves show us. This is a different form of that word echo. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in. What manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. So we keep bringing the word over and over. Don't give up on the word. Right now, we got all sorts of churches. They're trying to do different things. I mean, they're trying all sorts of gimmicks. They're trying giveaways to get people to come. They'll do a lottery type deal. They'll do this and that. And the only thing that's going to get people in the relationship with God is the Word of God. Amen. So we need to keep saying the same thing. We need to keep doing the same thing. Go with me to Luke chapter 4. Hold your place there. We'll be right back. Luke chapter 4. Look at Jesus. How many knows he's our perfect example? Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 37. And the fame, there's that word, that sounding out to keep echoing Jesus. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. The fame of Jesus. Now, why did the fame of Jesus go out? Is because the next verse, or the previous verse tells us, that he had power and authority over all unclean spirits. See, people, they're dealing with the devil just like you are, but you've got Jesus to help you. They don't have Jesus. Amen? And so, you and I need to be talking about what Jesus can do. If we're not careful, what we're saying, well, if you'll get saved, Jesus can keep you out of hell in the eternity, but you're probably going to go through hell every day here. Is that a good gospel message? Now, we're going to go through things. Don't get me wrong. You're going to go through trials and seasons. There are going to be dry places. There are going to be wilderness times. But they're times. They're seasons. Amen? Now, here's what we need to be talking about. Verse 38. And he, Jesus, arose out of the synagogue and he went into Simon's house. Now, remember we talked about he didn't call him Peter. He called him Simon. Simon means hearing. So if you and I can hear what the Word of God says, we can have what the Word of God says. Say it again with me. If you can hear what the Word of God says, you can have what the Word of God says. Amen? Faith comes by hearing. And he arose and went out of the synagogue. He entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken. Now think about that. This spirit of fever grabbed a host of her. The devil has a plan to grab a host of people's lives. was taken with a great fever, not just a little fever. In other words, this word great fever, it means this was a fever that was going to take her life. Okay? This is how serious it was. And they besought him, they besought Jesus for her. And he, Jesus, stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. This is what we need to be talking about. Jesus' fame. This is not a natural fever. This is a fever of the devil. This is a spirit of burning that wants to steal, kill, and destroy life. And Jesus has authority over it. Be ye therefore followers of Paul as he follows Jesus. You hear the message, you can have the message. Works that I do, John 14:12, greater works shall you do, right? Verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers disease brought them unto him, brought them unto Jesus. And he laid his hands on every one of them and what? Healed them. Mark 16 says that you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall follow Jesus. Hear what he does. Do what he does. Amen. He said that we were examples, that we had a role and a position, that we were to bring the true gospel, the full gospel, to people. Verse 41, and devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. Don't you love that? Thou art Christ. You're the Messiah. See, when you and I, when we stand in the name of Jesus and we speak the name of Jesus, that's the covenant of David. That's the kingship of David. That's that key that we were talking about this morning. That Messiahship is flowing in and through his church. Amen. Thou art the Christ, the Son of David. And rebuking them, he suffered them not to speak, for they knew not, for they knew that he was Christ. Verse 42. And when it was day, now it was night, now it's day. What does that mean? Jesus ministered all night long. Jesus is in the same flesh that you're in, the same flesh that I am, but he done it by the Spirit. I don't know about you, I can tell when I do things by the flesh or I do things by the Spirit. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. Now why? Verse 43, this is what they wanted, and this is what he was going to do. And he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore I am sent. But they were wanting him to stay there, but he had to go preach the word. Now, how does he go preach the word? Through you, through his church. Amen? All right, go back to 1 Thessalonians. Let's look at our last, number 5, verse 10. The part of the people who are in the church of the living God, they're in Jesus, they're in God, this is what they're doing. Verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. This is what you and I are, all these things are what we're supposed to be teaching and delivering to people. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Oh, who wants to run? Who wants to shout? Amen? Jesus took my wrath.
Glory.
He took your wrath. Amen. I am justified. You are justified just as if I never sinned. We are righteous. We are white. Amen. There's a wrath coming, but we don't have to worry about it. But while we're not worried about our wrath, we need to what? We need to be waiting for the Lord's return. This waiting means confident expectation because of patience and truth. Now, there's a lot of people say, oh, I'm waiting. I'm looking for the Lord to come. But their works deny that. Remember, it's not just words, it's works. So let's close in Luke chapter 12 And let's see if we're really waiting, if we have confident expectation in the Lord's return or not. Because only the Word of God shows you, shows me the truth. Amen? We're hitting on something tonight. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. This is red letter. This is Jesus teaching us. He says, let your loins be girded about. Your loins, this is the part of your midriff. This is your soul, your mind, will, and emotions being lit by the Holy Spirit in your spirit, where you don't have to walk in the dark. You don't have to make decisions on your own, but you make decisions by that light that's shining in you. Let your loins be girded about. Come on, be girded with truth. And your light's burning. Verse 36, and ye yourselves liken to men that what? Mark this down in your Bible app, highlighted in your Bible, that wait, that have confident expectation with patience and truth, that wait, same word, for their Lord. So if you're looking for the coming of the Lord, if I'm looking for the coming of the Lord, I'm going to have my loins girded, I'm going to have my light burning, and I'm going to be in that place that when he cometh, from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, that they may open unto him immediately. You and I, we need to be in the place of immediacy. We need to be in the place of presence continually. Now stay with me. Verse 37. Blessed are those servants, say he's talking to me. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, remember, we're waiting on the coming of the Lord. When he cometh, shall find watching. Watching. This word, gregero, it means to stay awake spiritually. It means you can lay down and rest in the Lord, sleep like a baby, but in your spirit, you have constant communication by the Holy Spirit being in your spirit. Shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. Jesus wants you and I to know that there's something greater coming, something better. We need to be watching for that marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen? There's nothing on this earth that can match that. There's no web page. There's no TV channel. There's no satellite. There is nothing that can touch this. Amen? Verse 38. And if he shall come in the second watch, or shall come in the third watch, now notice this, find them so, blessed are those servants. So if you and I are in a place where our loins, they're girded with that truth, our lights are burning that we read in 35, that we're actually waiting. We believe that the Lord's, in other words, you and I, we're praying. Say we're praying. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit brings somebody to your heart, Brother Zach. You can't wait to do what you prayed because you're afraid the Lord will come before you get it done. That tells us whether we're really looking for the coming of the Lord or not. If we're able to put off what the Holy Spirit says, we're deceiving ourselves. I'm not looking for the Lord. I'm looking for Greg. What I want, what I need. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them, so blessed are those servants. I want to be that. Verse 39. And this know that if the goodman of the house, that's you and I, you're the goodman, you're the leader of your house, your life is your house. Matthew 7:24-27. Your life is built upon the rock, upon Jesus, and your life is the house. And this know that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, stayed spiritually awake, and have not suffered his house to be broken through. Now Jesus is talking about his own people, and some's not going to be looking. They're going to suffer loss. This is no time to play church. This is a time that you and I have got to be so serious. Amen? Verse 40. Here's what he tells us. Be ye therefore ready. Be ye therefore spiritually fit, spiritually adjusted is what it says. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Jesus is coming. And that trumpet's going to sound. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be surprised. Sodom and Gomorrah, they were surprised that morning. They had tried to get with the angels all night to do perverted things. But that morning, the angels went and they grabbed Lot and his two daughters and his wife. The sons-in-law stayed. The wife looked back. But he brought the two daughters, the angels did, and Lot out. And then all of a sudden, started raining down the judgment of God. You and I, we've got to be about the harvest. Amen? We've got to be about the harvest. And we can do it because God wants us to see who we are in Him. And He wants to see what He's instilled in us. Amen? I want to close with this thought. I thought this was kind of cute. There's a lady. Don't hold me to this. This may not be right. I can't. I think her name was Trudy Gilmore or something like that. And that may not be right because I'm going from memory. But I read this. This lady, she helped teach kids, children with autism. And she's got a PhD. But she has done a lot of her ability to be able to teach and to help children with this because she's a big animal lover, and she was first a veterinarian. And so she made this statement. She said, have you ever noticed, and I thought about this, Victoria, you remember when Cat got hung in the tree and we had to get Corey and put the ladder in the bucket and raise it up? Anyway, that's why I was thinking about this when I read this. She said, you ever noticed how some cats climb a tree and they can't get down? You know, I can remember as a kid in school reading the book about, you know, calling the fireman out to get the cat out of the tree. Well, anyway, she was talking about that. And she said that the reason why that these cats cannot come out of the tree is because they were separated from their mother before their mother trained them to come down out of the tree. See, that's what we've been talking about, being trained by Jesus. Be you a follower of Jesus. See, you and I, He's sending us out. But you notice when Jesus sent the 12 out, when He sent the 70 out, He went before them in every city that they would go. He's going before you, every place that you go. And so He's training us on the job. He's training us in here. He's training us in your prayer closet. He's training you at home. But He's training us on the job. And so, just like these cats get up in these trees and they don't know how to climb down because they haven't been able to see it done. Everything that Jesus is asking you and us to do, we can see it out of this Bible. He'll never ask you to do anything that He won't show you first. And there is such an anointing that God is wanting to pour out, but I've got to be willing to receive it. See, God doesn't waste anything. But He's wanting to pour out a revelation of the anointing that is in us where we can walk these things out and we can get these people out of trees, out of places they can't get out themselves. We can show them how they can walk and follow in Jesus, even if they've got problems. Because they're going to have problems. Because why? I know, don't you? I've had problems. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. I thank You for this wonderful group of people. I ask that You help them to feel the love of God like they've never felt before. Let it be more real to them. Help them feel the love of God that I have for them. Help them see and understand that I respect them and I honor them and I hold them up with You and to You. And that it's my heart's desire to propel them and help them to be all that You've called and destined them to be. Because You've gave me this privilege and this opportunity. Help them to see what it means to me. Lord, I ask that You would just touch right now by Your Holy Spirit. Help us take hold of these words. Let us see that these five things, number five, the number of grace, can come out of each one of our lives for Your glory. All we've got to do is just hear the word and accept it. Lord, let it be. Let us be about your business. Let us be emboldened. Let us be empowered. Let us recognize and realize that Holy Spirit lives in us, because you said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there was liberty, there was freedom to bring truth, and the truth is what makes us free. Lord, let it be. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Would you come tonight, make yourself an altar, and just get a fresh vision of what God's called you to do and be?